This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, the weekly podcast which offers education and training for referees of all levels all over the world. You can listen to our weekly podcast from Friday at 5 p.m. by subscribing on the website and by searching the podcast provider that you use. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is PGMOL Observer and Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator and my mentor, Richard Mellon.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in the world.
So, just to give a little bit of sense of day, it's Saturday morning, it's the 30th of January, and it's about 20 to midday. Hence the reason for Rich saying what he's just said. Welcome to the Referee's World podcast, if it's your first time listening. Rich, we're going to go straight into it today.
Yeah, this is match day, really, in every sense, but the weather's put paid to a lot of football, if we were playing, I would imagine. We've got to occupy ourselves with other things that help our colleagues get through this situation that we have.
So we're doing that as best we can by giving you the opportunity to listen to our weekly podcast. And in our previous three episodes, we spoke quite extensively to Lee Probert. Now we're going to do exactly the same with one of Lee's oppos.
Was he an oppo? Well, I'll let Andy decide that. Andy and Lee worked together many, many times on the Premier League. And, we'll listen to Andy's experiences, his guidance, his advice and bits and pieces and stories from those experiences that he had.
So let's welcome to the Referee's World podcast for the first time Andy Garrett, who is currently in Warsaw on Zoom. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Darren. Morning, Rich. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, mate.
Very, very good. Can I just say, I can see the visuals of these two. They're both on Zoom and the cameras, and I don't have a camera, so they can't see me. But they look like twins, the pair of them. They look like the Cray twins.
Ronnie and Reggie.
Ronnie and Reggie, as we live and breathe. So, Rich, I'll hand this one over to you, my friend.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Good evening, wherever you may be, as we've already said. Andy, we could go all around the houses here with the story of how you got into football. I suppose it's easy to say, let's start at the beginning. Did you play? Where did you play? What position? Were you any good?
I did play, but I used to get in trouble with referees too much, which is why I took up the whistle in the end. But the very first recollections of football was my dad was a local parks referee. He wasn't able to drive, he couldn't drive, so he went everywhere, walked to the local parks, and every other week we were on the park directly opposite where we lived, so I just went with him, and it was like loads and loads of games being played every Sunday morning, and most of the time none of the teams wanted to run the line. They hadn't got enough people to actually put 11 people on the pitch, let alone have a linesman. So my dad ended up putting the flag on the touchline, and not having anyone to do it for him. And he used to get loads of jip. So I just said to him one day, can I pick up the flag? I was only probably 9 or 10 at the time. And he said, well, something's better than nothing. I said, well, thanks for the confidence. There we go. And it ended up picking the flag up. These players, it was brilliant. They never gave me any jip because I was helping them. And that was where I got the bug initially to actually do it. And just followed doing that really, but was playing on a Sunday afternoon in the Warsaw Juniors League, and we had a fairly good team. But I played centre half, okay during them. But then when I eventually got to 15, 16 in the open age group, etc., going into the under 18s was where I finally decided that I was probably better than I was playing, and obviously knew a little bit more because my dad was still refereeing at the time. Ended up probably arguing with a lot of referees and getting into trouble. And they knew me through my dad, which probably didn't help because my dad was quite a strict referee. So he probably didn't help matters at the time. So eventually, when I was 20, 21, 1984.
So Andy, you took up the whistle at 21. Let's just go back to those playing years. What type of player were you as a centre half?
Probably one where
In this day and age, I probably wouldn't have lasted more than 5 minutes on the pitch, if I'm totally honest, because not a lot got past me.
I wanted to get a bit of clarity on that and how you play.
I wasn't the quickest, Rich. I wasn't the quickest, so I made sure that no one actually tried to get past me. There we go. That's probably the best way to put it.
Thou shalt not pass.
Absolutely.
Fair play, mate. Did you get cautioned or sent off?
Oh, loads of times. I got sent off a couple of times, got cautioned probably loads of times, but I always knew how far to take it most days. Those are dark days, which we don't want to talk about them.
Yes, we do.
So let's get into the refereeing, Andy. What was the year you took it up? 1984, 1985?
84 it was, yeah. Then went and refereed on the Warsaw Junior Youth League and really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it, but my passion really was I always loved, because obviously in those days you got watched on a Sunday morning ready for Saturday afternoon football, and then you ran the line on the leagues below what you actually refereed at. And as I progressed through the system, I just knew that I was a better linesman than referee. You just have this feeling, yeah. Really. Although I enjoyed refereeing, I actually enjoyed better running the line. I felt I was more value because I was part of a team, and I wasn't taking the lead on everything. And I just wanted to help the people there and that's really how it all started.
That's interesting, because you identified an assistant referee pathway very early then.
Yeah. I mean, in those days, it was you had to referee to continue running the line, didn't you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you were assessed on your refereeing ability, not your lining ability. So if you weren't a half decent referee, you would never get very far running the line. Fortunately, I was a half decent referee, but I was probably a better linesman, to be honest.
Gents, can I just jump in here very quickly? At what point these days in the system do they recognise you as a better referee or a better assistant referee and then push you in that direction? Because like you say, you could be brilliant at a very early age at one, but not so good at the other, and then you're kind of restricted to how far you go if you don't have an equal level of consistency.
It's round about level four status. After a few years as a level four, I say a few years, 3 or 4 years as a level four, you get a feel for where your stronger talent or your skills are more effective. And so consequently, you can look towards assistant referee pathway or referee pathway. And it's a little bit further down the line, being a level four or five years into your career at that level, and then you get the options of, well, let's see where you want to go. What do you fancy doing? And it's as straightforward as that, really. It's not complicated. You do have the options, as opposed to how it was when Andy and I were coming through the system all those years ago. You had to referee to progress. And as you progress as a referee, your assistant refereeing was also drawn into the fray because you had to do that as part of your progress. And so consequently, if you were refereeing on the contributory, as it's commonly known, you would be an assistant referee at the next level above. And so consequently, that's how it works. That's the way in which it all comes together.
So let's just say, for example, let's say in a season's time, I was lucky enough to get promoted to level four. And I turned to you, Rich, as a mate, as a coach, as a colleague, and said, right, Rich, I actually have preferred going down the line as an assistant referee. How are you going to help me progress with this?
That chance can be created, not necessarily by me, because the issues that let me say to you, if you decide you want to become an assistant referee, you make it known to the right people, county FAs and above, they will then start introducing you to modules and ideas of how you progress as a level four. I can't remember the actual number is, I say 4F. So, you know, there is a list in this country already of level 4Fs, as I'll call it. I may be slightly inaccurate there, but that's already begun. as regards for those guys that want to sit in that situation and progress as an assistant referee. There's an assistant referee career pathway. So, you know, it's been introduced now very early into your career, as to previously it was quite much further up the ladder.
And just one more question before we go back to Andy. Sorry about this, Andy, but what would the age limits be of this? Because there'll be people listening to this that are joining the refereeing ladder at various ages. And what sort of ages are we looking at?
Good question, Dan. There is no age limit.
So potentially somebody who is an assistant referee could actually carry on a fairly successful career later on in life then.
Yeah, it's all about your skills and your talent and your ability. Mm. The most important thing, as I would point out to anybody, is making sure that you're able to pass fitness tests that allow you to operate at that level, you know, and that's it. I mean, long gone are the days when you were removed from a list because of your age. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, it's now about your ability to remain at that level as an active match official, matching the demands, hitting, you know, what's required. I mean, and Andy's a great example of that, because I'll ask Andy. Andy, how old are you, mate?
I am 58 next week.
Another reason why I asked that was because at the start of this interview, right, I did a quick Google on Andy, and the first thing that came up was a picture of you running the line from Getty Images on a game between Aston Villa and Crystal Palace in 2019. So I'm sort of doing the maths here, because you said to me at the beginning of the interview that you were retired when we're doing our little mic test thing on it. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, so, you know, retirement age and you're on the Premiership of 2019. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah. I mean, I started refereeing in 84 when I was 21, and it took me until 1997 to get on the Football League. So you were talking about age a few moments ago to Rich about what's the age limit. I actually got on the Football League when I was 36. There are ample opportunities for people of all ages, if you are good enough, as Rich says, to actually do this. Obviously, I was in a position, very fortunate position, where eventually I was fully professional as an assistant referee. It's a long, long path to actually go through, and you have to be very lucky. You have to be very fortunate with injuries and stuff like that. But I continue going until the end of last season, 2019-20 season. I was fortunate enough to do that long on there, you know. So I was 57 when I retired, which is the oldest age on the Premier League linesman, Premier League assistant referee, sorry. Mm. The oldest age of anyone on there. So a bit of a record. Whether that will be beaten in days gone by, who knows, because the fitness tests are getting harder and harder. And injuries probably will become more prevalent because of the speed of the game, etc., as we go on, you know. But I've been very, very fortunate going on, Darren, all through my life, to be honest, with the injuries and stuff. So, 36 when I got on the Football League, and managed to do 22 years on there.
Wow, fair play you, incredibly with the fitness.
I knew Andy had managed to get to the levels that he did and matching the demands. In comparison, and these are little comparisons in a way, I also passed the referee's exam in 1984. I was 29, or almost 29, at that time. I got to the Football League in 1997. I came off because of my age when I was 40, almost 46, and that was the criteria at that time. Mm. So you can see how things have vastly changed over those years. And Andy to go until he's 57, 58, that's a fantastic thing. Andy says the fitness tests get tougher. Yeah, they do get tougher as you get older, but it's all about application of the individual. And if you've got that desire, if you've got that want to push yourself, see how far you can go. Mm. You know, there's nothing stopping you in terms of age. It's all about your ability and drive. And that's what I'd recommend to anybody that aspires to want to make it through the ranks of refereeing or assistant refereeing.
We're slowly coming up to our 20-minute mark here. So you're listening to the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. And our special guest is Andy Garrett. Andy, before you go I know you're going to come back and do some more with us in just a sec in the next episodes, but a couple of cheeky little questions I want to ask you, if that's okay. What was your last game?
My last game was in lockdown. On Project Restart. My last game was at Norwich against Burnley in the Premier League in July 2020.
So that, like you say, would have been a lockdown game, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I managed to get back from illness. I mentioned about not being ill, but I was ill in last season. I've had a serious illness. Managed to get back on the pitch for two games on the Premier League in 2020. So I was very grateful for the Premier League giving me that opportunity. And I managed to do two games at the end of the season. My last one was at Norwich against Burnley.
Can I ask you what it was like going from a really raucous atmosphere to an empty stadium? And how that affected you and your position, because you would have been used to such huge crowds, and that does enthrall a certain level of adrenaline through you, doesn't it?
It does. You're absolutely spot on. You know, when you walk out to the likes of Anfield and places like that, you know, when you've got like people singing and shouting and actually doing all the anthems and stuff, it puts a hairs on the back of your neck stand up, you know. Then not to have that when you go out into empty stadium. The club's tried to do the best by putting sounds on there, you know, of crowds and everything, but it was a couple of occasions, it was like delayed, so the ball would go behind the goals and then 2 seconds later there'd be an ooh from the crowd, you know, which was a bit strange, you know, but you actually feast on the actual crowd adrenaline. The crowd actually get you going. I can understand why the players and there's so many weird results at the moment, because when a team goes behind now, there's no crowd there to actually give them that extra push, especially the home crowd, to actually do better. I can totally understand why there's so many weird results around now and not so many good home records as there has been.
Can I ask you what your favourite place was to go?
there were two grounds. There were two grounds where I looked to go to, and it'll probably be quite a surprise actually. The first one was Newcastle United. As you actually come out and hear that roar of the passionate Geordies, you came down the steps and then up onto the playing surface. It was that was absolutely brilliant. Liverpool took some beating when you walked out, when they were all singing, you'll never walk alone. You know, that was brilliant. But my other favourite one was just across Stanley Park at Everton. That was my favourite ground. Because it was an old-fashioned ground, the crowd was so close to you. Mm. You could hear everything that they were saying, you know. But they also knew that if the opposition opposition played well, they would always appreciate that. And except if it was Liverpool, of course, or Man United, but everybody else, they would appreciate. And but you always got a sensation there that you couldn't find anywhere else, in my opinion.
It's the Referees World podcast, and we're going to have to end it here because we want to do more with Andy. And you know how Zoom works. After 40 minutes, you get cut off. So we don't want to be cut off. And basically means Rich is going to have to create another meeting. We're all going to have to join it and start all over again. So we'll catch up in the next episode.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.